Good morning. As I have hung around Mennonites in this region for the last number of years, I've been lucky to have my path cross a number of your paths in various ways and places. It's good to be here with you to worship God this morning. The title that I chose for today's message and the wording that's on the front of your bulletin comes straight from the text out of 1 Thessalonians that Natalie read for us today. Encourage one another. We heard it in the first verse of that text, and we heard it again in the last verse of that text. Encourage one another. I want to begin by inviting you to think, to bring to mind a way that you are encouraged or that you have been encouraged by being a part of this faith community. I'm going to give you a moment of quiet so that you can put something specific in your head. It may be that there was a specific moment in your life when the people of this congregation did or said something for you that was encouraging. It may be there was a decision that you were making that someone encouraged you through. It might be a general encouragement that you receive simply through participating here. But bring to mind an answer to the question, how have you felt personally encouraged by being a part of Glennon Heights? And if you're a visitor, I invite you to think of another faith community that you may have been a part of. Do you have some things in mind? I'll take nods of heads. Okay. I'd be glad to hear from some of you. Can you call out, if you're willing to share, I was encouraged by, or I am encouraged when? Who's first? Raise a hand.
I've been encouraged by Betsy to keep coming to church, even though I do have a bad leg and I'm part of a wound clinic right now that they're working to heal a wound that hasn't healed from my leg.
So Sam's been encouraged to keep coming, even though it's a little troublesome for him at this time. Joyce is an encouragement in life too, isn't she? Another. Go ahead.
I'm a visitor, but I've been encouraged by the way this congregation has lent a hand in instilling God and godliness in my two grandchildren.
We're grateful for the messages about God that our kids get. Thank you. It's encouraging. To be affirmed for our use of our gifts in the church. Who else? How have you felt encouraged? The encouragement of being known. Known and welcomed. Lovely. Any others?
I just felt tremendously encouraged when I shared my own story with this congregation.
When people are willing to listen to our walks and our journeys, it is an encouragement to us. Thank you, Jeff. It encourages me to hear how you have encouraged one another. The opening of the letter of 1 Thessalonians says that it is from Paul and Silas and Timothy. Now, for a letter written by committee, it is still not one of the longest of Paul's letters included in our New Testament. It's only 5 fairly short chapters. It follows the format of letters from the day, There is a greeting. There is thanksgiving offered for the community being addressed. There's some content or what the writer wanted to communicate, and there's a closing. Our reading today comes from near the end of that content section. Now, the content of this letter is different from the content of other letters found in the New Testament. Jacob Elias points this out in his Believer's Bible Commentary. 1 Thessalonians is different from the other letters of the New Testament in this way. The body of this letter doesn't get nearly as preachy as the body of the other letters. In the other letters, we can tell that reports from the communities are getting back to Paul about things that folks in those communities are doing that aren't exactly following in the way of Jesus. And so the content of those letters seeks to offer instruction or admonition or correction to the wrongs being done. But in this letter, that isn't the case. In fact, when Paul couldn't make it back to see the people at Thessalonica again, he sent Timothy. And Timothy returned to Paul with this glowing report of how well this body of believers was doing in holding fast to walking in the ways of Jesus. Listen to a few of the comments that come earlier in the letter. You are proving your faith by your actions, laboring in love, showing constancy of hope in our Savior Jesus Christ. You've become a model for all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So Paul and Timothy and Silas didn't have any really big pressing reason to write to the church. There was no major wrong to correct. There was no new big idea to impart. But they wrote anyway. They wrote simply to encourage. They were doing actually what they were going to tell the people at Thessalonica to do. They were practicing what they were preaching. They were being encouraging to the people. Paul and Silas and Timothy noticed the ways that the people of the church were letting the Spirit of Christ live in and through them, and Paul and Silas and Timothy named that faithfulness. They were cheerleaders for the Thessalonians to continue to live lives following in the way of Jesus, to continue to live as sober children of the light, to continue to wear faith and love and hope, and to receive the salvation that comes through our Savior and theirs, Jesus Christ. So encourage one another, build each other up just as you are already doing. What a lovely affirmation to receive from people who have been leaders in their midst. With this text, we hear an appreciation for and encouragement for steadfastness. It's a challenge to the people to continue to stay true to those qualities that they know are of Christ. It's similar to the message that we hear in our parable about the bridesmaids from Matthew. The version that was read today referred to the 10 virgins. Other texts translate that word to young women or bridesmaids or attendants. Even scholars don't have a great handle on wedding customs of the day. And what we hear in Matthew is just a little sketchy, but this story finds these attendants and the oil for their lamps worthy of a lesson. We do know that these bridesmaids, these attendants, were to escort the wedding party on the final leg of the journey to the wedding feast, whenever the bridegroom happened to show up. Those bridesmaids who planned for the possibility that the groom might be late or delayed, who carried extra oil for their lamps, who stayed waiting, were welcomed into the feast when the bridal party arrived. Now, I'm going to admit to you that there are some parts of this parable that are troubling for me. Maybe they've caught your attention too. For those who went to purchase oil in the middle of the night, would there have been a vendor available at midnight? And I suspect that even some of our children, upon hearing this story, would ask, now why didn't those who had oil share some of their oil with those who didn't, even knowing that they might not have quite enough? Some certainly could have shared. And then the third troubling thing for me about this parable, if this was a parable where the bridegroom did indeed represent our Jesus, where the attendants were to be watching for the bridegroom of Christ, would those who came late to the party really have been turned away? When I start getting caught up in some of these troubling pieces, I have to remind myself of this. The parables were usually told in order to make one big point. It was an oral story, remember, intended to leave a particular impression on the listeners. While today we have that story in writing, and we can pick it apart line by line, that wasn't the case when the stories were originally told. One parable is not meant to cover all the lessons. And this particular parable comes from a list of parables making the point that we don't know when we will face Jesus. So we should be prepared at all times for such an encounter. And when I begin to get bogged down in some of the troubling parts of the stories, and exclusion is a particular pet peeve of mine, I remind myself that by the end of the book of Matthew, just a few chapters later, Jesus isn't talking anymore about who is in and who is out. He invites all of the 11, those who were worshiping him and those who were doubting him, those who were wise and those who were foolish, to be a part of his kingdom and his work, with a promise that he would be with them all, always. This parable about the oil and the lamps always brings to mind for me the camp song. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Do you know this song? Sing a verse with me. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. I'm going to cut us off there. You all are doing the echoes. I'm sure the sing Hosannas would be grand. Other verses, give me joy in my heart, keep me praising. Give me love in my heart, keep me serving. Give me gas for my, keep me trucking for the Lord. Give me wax for my, keep me surfing, or out here, I guess we should say boarding for the Lord. Were there other verses that you knew to that song? It was a fun song, and it's a prayer to God to give us oil for our lamps. It suggests that the oil is something about filling our souls for preparedness for encountering Jesus, for preparedness to remain burning and praising and serving. Faithfully and with steadfastness. Being in this Christian journey for the longer haul, not being one of those who gets all excited and then burns out, but making a commitment to look towards the light always, to prepare to let the light live in and through us as it is needed around us. The disciples were wondering when Jesus would return after his leaving them. Lots of their questions near the end of their time with them. And therefore, lots of Jesus' teachings addressed how they should await his return. In the midst of those teachings, Jesus told this lamp and oil parable. You may also know that later in this same chapter, Jesus gives the teaching that whenever people feed the hungry or offer drink to the thirsty, whenever people welcome a stranger or clothe the naked or comfort the ill or visit the prisoner, this is done for the Christ, meeting them in that person who is of the least of these. I don't know if or when there might be some big return of Jesus. I don't spend time worrying about it. But I do believe that in any moment, Jesus is near. The Spirit of Christ is near. Our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to live with enough oil in our lamps, with enough spiritual awareness to notice that presence of Christ among us and to respond to it with love and grace and hope. Indeed, one of the ways that we keep oil in our lamps, that we prepare our souls for encountering Jesus among us, is through the encouragement that we find by being a part of a faith community, by being a part of the body of Christ. Now, I'm aware that this is a situation where I'm probably preaching to the choir. You've already chosen to be here and to be a part of this body of believers. It might be that the folks who would benefit from hearing this particular encouragement don't participate regularly in a faith community. You already come. And you've named some ways that this body has been encouraging for you. And whether you know it or not, your presence here is an encouragement to someone else. You are already living out Paul's admonition to encourage one another. You are already receiving oil for your lamps in this way. Maybe when you have a chance to share with folks about why being a part of this faith community is significant for you, you might say something along the lines that this place offers you good encouragement for living with meaning in the world, and that this place is a place where your presence is a support to others. Especially during the coming months of transition for this body, offer each other encouragements. I'm going to, probably like many of you, miss Betsy and Bruce when they move on. I'm excited for the next chapter for them. I have treasured having her as a colleague and a friend. From what I hear from her and from what I see from your Facebook page, from seeing your bulletins once in a while, from knowing some of you, it sounds like you're a pretty healthy congregation right now. I celebrate that with you. I encourage you to keep tending your relationships with each other. From what I hear, from what you've shared this morning, it sounds like there's much goodness here. From what I hear, it sounds like you are already putting on faith and hope and love and wearing that in the world, even in the midst of what sometimes feels like evil pushing in from the outside. And so I offer you the same encouragement that Paul offered to the Thessalonians, as it seems to fit. Continue to encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are already doing. May your steadfastness continue. May it be so. I want to invite you to do what Christians have done for thousands of years, to stand and to pass the peace with one another. If it feels true to you, instead of saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," look the person whose hand you are shaking in the eye and say to them, "I'm glad you are here." Let's greet one another.
And please stand.
Come, come, ye saints, no toil nor labor fear, but with joy.